WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel. Click that purple rectangular button below the screen. I'm the producer, Sorokin, joined as always by Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah! I don't know what to say as a fun tagline, so hello.
Speaking of fun, the intern Kane Kittens.
Really? That's your segue. That's okay, awesome.
I mean, if you want, I could go. Sorry if I sound weird. I'm sitting awkwardly because I have ice on my knee.
No, not you, Rock.
Oh,
but I was playing off as his no fun, and then you're fun. So you know. And then the woohoo man himself, Tim Stein?
Woohoo? What the hell is this woohoo shit?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I just figured I'd try something different.
I'm just trying
something. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, streaming live on the interwebs for your oral pleasure. That's spelled A-U-R-A-L. Don't get it twisted, kids. Behave yourselves. Today, we're just going to talk about some stuff, and then, yeah.
We're indeed going to talk about some stuff, yeah.
It has to do with wrestling.
Indeed, that's why it's called Wrestle Talk Radio. That's the name
of
the show.
Well, you know, we could change the title of it and call it Water Talk Radio, and then, you know, have a lawsuit against somebody or something. But I mean, that wouldn't work.
I mean, we could do half the show talking sports and then the other half talking wrestling.
Hey, you know, it might be time for a showdown because it's Sunday.
I mean, we could be wild about sports.
We were once.
Hey, let me know when you're done that. I'll come back.
the host did rotate during that.
That was an experiment, and I'm willing to freely admit it did not completely succeed.
Yeah, it didn't.
Not completely.
But it was an attempt.
It was just, you know, it was just something to shake things up. This happened around, what, 2006?
I guess. I wasn't here then. But sounds about
right.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. It's been a minute. It's been a hot minute. And it was on a Saturday. I think it was on a Saturday, too.
Yeah, all I can tell you is Dave's not here, man.
And hasn't been for a long time. Anyway, let's talk about some pro wrestling sports entertainment. And we'll begin by turning the page because WWE superstar Paige has announced that, well, her contract will not be renewed and she'll be a free agent this July.
Sayonara, Saraya.
She claims that we haven't seen the last of her in a professional wrestling ring. But with all her injuries, should she get back into the ring? Start with you, Keishi.
I mean, it's a tough call. Because you look at, basically, you've got your two closest scenarios. You have Edge, who went out also with neck problems. But based on his style of neck injury, was able to rehab it to a point where he could come back and wrestle.
He also had
which is awesome.
He also had the third surgery.
Yes. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum and you have Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson, who had basically the same neck injury as Christopher Reeves. He was fortunate enough to be in the type of shape that basically his neck muscles saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
But he theoretically will never wrestle again because his injury was possibly the most extreme one you could have. So
without being becoming a quadriplegic.
Yes, and that is like another thing, like he super lucky that he didn't. So based on, you know, what we know about Paige, she has a neck injury. Whether it's as bad as Edge's or as bad as Tyson's or the type of injury closest to Tyson's or Edge's or even Stone Cold Steve Austin. These are all guys who had neck injuries and have had to either retire from wrestling, modify how they wrestle, or fortunate enough to come back. So it's tough to say because no one really 100% knows where she's at with that, what kind of injury she has. Obviously, she came back and got re-injured, and that was problematic. So based on what we've seen as, you know, wrestling fans and people who followed her career, may not be the best idea as far as wrestling is concerned. Doesn't necessarily mean that she can't come back in another capacity in wrestling, similar to what she was doing briefly in WWE. I guess at the end of the day, it's a matter of, you know, whether she is willing to take that risk and whether there's a company out there that is willing to take that risk too. Like, do you want to be the company that, like, you could be the company that's, hey, we let Paige wrestle again, we're awesome. But that could also turn into, we're the company that let Paige wrestle and now she's paralyzed. So...
Yeah,
you don't want that. No. And I mean, I guess those are the two ends of the spectrum that you're going to have to look at as a wrestling company if you want to approach Paige with the intent on having her wrestle. I mean, the nice thing is she's good on the mic, so you could use her in a different capacity if you needed to. And hopefully, you know, there's space out there for her. Maybe not obviously in WWE anymore, but, you know, there's lots of other places she can go now. It's a very different wrestling monster out there than when she entered the WWE. So either way, I think she'll be successful whether she wrestles or not. And I hope that whatever she does, it doesn't cause her to get injured.
So Brent, is she about to, you know, jump through that forbidden door and become part of that crew?
I'm so sick and tired of that analogy. I hate you so much right now. I mean, AEW could take a chance on her. I just have one very important question. Mm-hmm. Has a medical professional cleared her?
I don't know.
For all intents and purposes, the answer to that seems to be no. Because if she had been cleared, WWE is in the business of making money, correct?
Yeah.
They're in the business of using the assets that they have to put out a quality product. Paige, as Keishi said, is someone who's very good on the mic. She can walk out and get a crowd to either love her or hate her very quickly.
I'm going to interrupt you. According to Lindsay, she said on her Twitch channel, she hasn't been cleared.
Okay. So to answer your first question, which you had posed to Keishi, should she get back in the ring? Hell no. Until she gets clearance from a doctor, and I don't mean the Ric Flair clearance of I went to 40 doctors and I listened to the one that will allow me to do exactly what I want to do, she should not set foot in between the ropes as a working professional. If she wants to be a manager and get through the ropes, sure, just don't take bumps. Because with the injury she got from, I don't want to say she got it from Sasha, but it just so happened to be, you know, Sasha's foot that happened to be the one that kind of put her on the shelf. by accident. Like Keisha, I mean, anything that has to deal with the spine, the neck, anything like that, you're walking a very thin tightrope.
Yes, you are.
And the difference between something like Edge and Daniel Bryan and, you know, some of these other Christian that came back after all these time or after all this time when they had serious injury is they got cleared. They were able to prove that they had healed enough and were able to safely perform and take maneuvers that is required of a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if AEW wants to bring her in as a manager, fantastic. I've already heard a rumor that they want to pair her with Jamie Hayter, which, sure, I mean, you're kind of looking in a mirror there, but whatevs. But at least it would give, you know, Hayter a mouthpiece, which it seems like she kind of needs a little bit. It gives Paige something to do, and it gives them the name value in which, you know, Tony loves, where he can be like, hey, look who we got! I have a super big announcement! Ha! And, you know, bring her out. And plus, she, you know, could still have her Twitch channel, which has been the biggest thing for her since she got hurt. So, if AEW wants to do it in that respect, sure. But if they're like, we're gonna bring her back and we're gonna have her as a competitor, I would feel like Tony really needs to reevaluate that decision.
Tim, shouldn't they have re-signed her?
Well, what were they gonna have her do if they re-signed her? They had the perfect opportunity to continue using her as an on-air talent, manager of a stable. Make her the female Paul Heyman. Which, if you take that literally, might be a very lofty ambition, but you get the idea of what I'm talking about. She hasn't done anything except collect a downside paycheck for how long now? Really?
It's been a couple years pre-pandemic. She did the stuff for backstage on Fox before that got canceled, and they haven't really used her since.
Yeah, and with all of the releases that WWE underwent, I mean, like, it could have been a sequel to one of the Purge movies, the amount of talent that they released. They didn't release her. Is that because she was initially injured not once but twice in a WWE ring, and they wanted to make sure that she was taken care of until the contract ran out? Mm-hmm. Stranger things have happened. Now, she has not been cleared by a medical professional. However, does anybody know if she has any medical appointments, any plans to see a neck specialist?
Let me look at her calendar. I'll let you know. Oh, wait. I don't have access to that.
You don't have access to that.
She has a Twitch stream scheduled, I think, for sometime early tomorrow. So she might squeeze it in after.
Right after the Twitch stream, right? Yeah. So that's the thing. There's one name that you guys did not mention that had to retire but came back, although it wasn't from a neck injury, Daniel Bryan. And he had gone back and forth with WWE like crazy until he was finally cleared and allowed to return to the ring. And there is a whole great big, huge, gigantic amount of stuff that went on with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of have to wonder if maybe some of that had gone on with Paige. Not being cleared at this point in time, WWE's medical professionals, you can use air quotes if you want. I don't really care. Are notorious for taking their sweet time to, invalidate somebody's ability to work, but once they're on the shelf, it's easier to pull teeth than to get them to change their minds. So there's a whole bunch of shit we don't know that could be, and of course, all of this is nothing more than speculation until we hear from Paige herself. If she never does get cleared to return to the ring because of her neck injury, I could see her going to AEW and working with the women's division. According to some of the internet, AEW's women's division needs some experienced assistance.
They need
time more than anything.
It's time rather than experience. There's enough experience there now.
You know, it's sad that so many people will judge a division just based on one bad match.
It's the internet. That's what they do.
Hey, you know, it's 2022 and the whiny babies are in charge now. So this is what happens. That being said, this young lady was a professional wrestler before she was bloody born. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know, but there might be a few listening who don't know. Her mother was, what, 8 months pregnant, taking bumps in the ring?
I don't know if it was that many months, but...
Well, she was fairly far along she was over halfway.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, but for some reason, 8 months is just sticking in my brain. Possibly not, but AEW could do a lot worse than signing Paige and assigning her a similar role to what Tyson Kidd is doing in WWE. Of course, Tyson Kidd, as we all know, is a Stampede Kid, TJ Wilson. And yes, I am going to point out he's a really good friend of mine and never fails to wish me a happy birthday on my birthday.
Okay, well...
What do we think about... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Trying to bring it back. What do we think about being that Paige is going to be a free agent and Renee Paquette is also free? What if AEW does a version of Backstage with those two? I enjoyed it. I don't know why it got canceled, but they could use those two to come up with some sort of other show to help further promote the product.
Well, that would necessitate AEW getting more television time.
It's called YouTube.
I was going to say, they could run it on their YouTube, and I mean, they've already got a presence on YouTube.
Yeah.
So that could work. It's just a matter of, honestly, if Renee would want to. Because it's like, Paige, sure, but Renee has a lot of other, you know, irons in the fire after leaving WWE. And I know that she's talked about maybe doing some stuff with AEW, but, I mean, there's only so many hours in the day.
Now, what is that Facebook Live?
It's just a streaming pop service, that's all.
It's Twitch, but on Facebook.
Yeah, no, it's just called Facebook Live, right?
Yeah.
What's her name does Red Table on Facebook Live.
What's her name does Red Table on Facebook Live. Those are helpful.
I mean technically Facebook Live is what they did the Mixed Match Challenge on.
Yeah.
I'm talking Will Smith's future ex-wife.
Oh.
What the hell is her name again?
Jada Pinkett Smith.
That's it, Jada Pinkett. Looking forward. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
What's her name? Okay.
What's her name? You know,
anyway, to answer
Red Kate, Table should have been your clue.
Okay. To go back to Casey really quick, Backstage got canceled, pandemic, budget, that killed the show.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could easily be brought back on not necessarily a TV platform like Brent said, and maybe not necessarily using Renee, but it would give Paige something to do in AEW that is wrestling adjacent.
Wait. I've got it. I mean, Mark Henry's not doing anything. You can give him a mic and let him go for 30 minutes, right?
Well, he just busted open, so there's no reason why he couldn't.
That's not a glowing endorsement, though, if you've heard him on Busted Open.
I haven't, so.
You're not missing much.
There's a reason why they have limited him to doing the pre-main event interview for AEW.
That's fair.
All I have to say.
So, going all the way around, favorite Paige moment in WWE, Brent?
Her debut. just the fact that it's like, we've said many a time that, you know, oh, this person, they're too new to get a championship shot. This girl walked into the main roster on night one and won their women's championship. After WrestleMania, it was one of those things like that will forever be one of those post-WrestleMania shock moments where Paige walked out, the fans went nuts, and then AJ challenges her to an impromptu match, and it's just boom, Paige Turner, 1, 2, 3, over. And everyone was like, wait, what? And it kind of set her forward because it's like there was that shock moment, but then it's like you started to get to know her, and she had that kind of she started to get that cockiness to her. So that when AJ came back and surprised her, it was karma biting her in the ass because AJ got the belt back in just as quick of a surprising fashion.
Casey, favorite moment?
I'm going to have to repeat what Brent said because that was my favorite moment. I don't know. Yeah, like I don't really have anything to add to what he said. Like the pop when she came out was amazing. How she won the belt first night, amazing. How they forwarded the story with her, and she got too big for her britches like really quick and then got her comeuppance almost in the exact same way. It was one of the better, especially at that time, women's storylines that they've done at that time. So that's kind of, yeah, that's one of the big standout moments for me.
Are we going 3 for 3, Tim?
Oh, wow. My favorite Paige moments.
If only you read chat, this would have worked better. Yeah, we're 3 for 3.
I would also say her, you know, the introduction of PBC was a pretty good moment.
Yes.
So there you go. So, Tim, I have a question for you.
Oh, no.
So, what ocean is Japan next to?
Thank you!
Why are you asking Tim?
Because I'm asking Tim.
Okay, what's the question? Because everybody's yapping and cutting you off.
What ocean is Japan closest to?
What ocean?
Yes.
Is Japan the closest to?
Yes.
The Pacific.
Okay. What ocean is New Zealand or Australia closest to?
The Pacific.
Brent, would you like to explain?
Okay, so AEW has just introduced itself the All-Atlantic Championship, which on the belt and in the tournament for said championship, they have competitors from New Japan Wrestling, an entire match for just New Japan, as well as a competitor from Australia, a competitor from Bulgaria, and then, where else? Canada, England.
That covers pretty much enough.
But the fact that the belt has Japan and the Australian / New Zealand flag on it, while it's labeled the All Atlantic Championship.
Whose brainchild was this?
Tony,
go back to school. You failed geography.
So we've now added a new belt to the lineup in AEW. Are they featuring too many belts, Brent?
Yes. Look, if we're talking about just their own titles, you've got the heavyweight championship, you have the TNT championship, you have the women's championship, you have the women's TBS championship, you have the tag team championship. You have, though not recognized, still defended on your brand, the FTW Championship, as well as predominantly featuring the Ring of Honor World title, the Ring of Honor Television title, the Pure title, the Tag Team titles, the AAA Mega Championship, the AAA Tag Team Championship.
ROH Women's.
ROH Women's title. This week they had the Rev Pro title. You've had the IWGP US Championship featured. That's 15 belts you've had on your program, and I didn't even mention the All-Atlantic yet. And I understand that some people will say, oh, well, you know, the AAA aren't theirs, and Ring of Honor's technically another thing. No, it's owned by Tony Khan, and he's featuring it between the shows. Trust me, it's going to count. You're still going to see it defended on AEW. But yes, they have way too many championships, especially when you've only got 3 hours of television to show it on. Oh, wait, I forgot. There's another one that they defend. It's the, the BTE championship on Being the Elite. So you get that on the web show. Yes, I know it's a comedy title, and it doesn't matter, but it's still defended. So 16 titles that they have running around their company right now.
You also have the heart belts.
Oh, yeah, the two ceremonial belts, but yet they're carried out like champions and announced as the Owen Hart, like, women's champion. I don't, whatever. Moving on. But yet there's a lot of that, and plus, don't forget, there's still the Ring of Honor Trios titles that's up in the air, plus there's talk that they're going to introduce an AEW Trios belt when Kenny Omega comes back, and there's also discussions of a women's tag team belt, which, honestly, if they introduce that, it's going to go the same way as WWE's women's titles, because that division is not strong enough to carry more than those singles belts. I'm sorry. We're just going to call it that, especially when you can't even really feature your women's champion on your television shows, except for in the, quote, death spot when it comes to ratings and programming.
What's the death spot?
I think it's either in the middle of hour two or just towards the beginning of hour two.
It's like 9:15, between 9:15 and 9:45.
Sorry, I'm really stupid when it comes to TV ratings, I guess, because I don't
It's just perpetually, like, after your second hour starts, you'll have some people tune in at the beginning of the hour, and then they'll tune away, and they'll come back to watch, like, the very end, the main event. And so they always feature the women's match in that spot that's the lull, and it always does shitty ratings. And so some people are trying to be like, oh, well, the women don't draw. And it's like, well, yeah, but if you put them in the spot where it's meant not to draw, guess what? They're not going to.
It would be interesting to tuck like a heavyweight title match in there to see what happens.
But they won't do that because they've learned that they have to put their heavyweight title at the beginning of hour one or hour two or in the main event in order to get the drawing power.
Oh, I get it, but
it's also the
dust. Hey, I'm not saying I'd be good at running a TV show. I just said it might be funny.
Yeah, they also run that. That's where your most commercials are.
Yeah, that's where you end up doing picture in picture, where like half the match is in commercial break.
Yeah,
but in short, yes, there are way too many belts, and even the introduction of this one felt really clunky because they were like, oh. And basically this entire belt is introduced to try and pull in the British market, because they kept reinforcing as part of this, if Dynamite and Rampage are number one in Great Britain. So they're really trying to draw in that international audience, and I think they're trying to use this belt to do it. Now, I don't know if that means this belt is going to be defended like at RevPro or what, but they're trying to capitalize on it. I don't know if this belt is only for international competitors, because there was not a U.S. competitor at all in the mix for this tournament.
Yet the flag is front and center on the belt.
Yeah, the U.S. flag is the predominant flag listed there. That and the Canadian. U.S. and Canadian were the top two. But yeah, I don't know with this. And they're gonna, they're introducing it at Forbidden Door. They're gonna have the 4-way match. Is it gonna be a good match? Sure. Is it gonna be something like a mid-card belt that you can put on someone to give them something to do, like a Malakai Black or a Miro, because they're kind of stuck in, mid-card hell right now? Yes. But at the same time, you already kind of had that with the TNT title, and that's up in the air right now, considering we don't know how hurt Scorpio Sky is.
How many belts, Keishi, is too many belts for 3 hours of pro wrestling TV?
Well, I mean, if you include all of the other company belts, considering they do kind of crisscross on what seems to be semi-regular basis, they have a lot. Giving some of the other guys an extra title with this Atlantic Championship is nice. For the amount of TV time they have, it might be a bit much, yes. That being said, if after, down the road, when they come to that realization themselves, if they're going to keep a mid-card title, I would keep the one that doesn't have a TV station logo on it.
The hard
only
part.
Because it's easier to promote that in other places, if they say, lose the TV deal or move to a different channel or want to defend it not on those stations or want to take it to other countries, and then have people go, well, what's a TNT? And then they go, it's a TV station, and I'm sure people in other countries won't give a shit.
But Keishi, what else are they going to defend on TBS? I mean, they can't defend the TBS title on TBS.
They're going to do dinner and a movie.
I'm still waiting for, like I said, the Court TV Trios title.
True TV Trios title.
Because then you could have whoever, like the House of Black versus the Impractical Jokers.
Ooh.
No, if you're going to do that, it's your HGTV Discovery Trios title.
Oh my God. Women's Tag Team Belts.
Yeah.
I just want to see somebody take that Oprah Winfrey meme where you go, everybody gets a, throw Tony Khan's head on her body. You get a championship title, everybody gets a championship title.
Now, that being said, I have to play devil's advocate, because in the company that I primarily wrestle for, there are four singles championships. one tag team championship and a women's championship. So and do with that what you will.
Is there any belt that Squiggy hasn't held for a while?
I don't know. All I can tell you is there are that many belts, and I ain't ever going to hold any of them.
Well, just as comparison, last night there was a pay-per-view held for a company that only has, I believe, 1 hour of...
Internet television.
Internet television, and they have 7 titles.
So, yeah, I mean...
Oh, wait, Rock, I forgot. We forgot to include the NWA Women's Championship because that has been defended on AEW.
Yeah, well,
so,
you
so have
17.
So have most of the Impact titles.
The Impact titles were...
Okay, 18, 19. The X Division was never defended there.
No.
No.
Okay, so 19 total belts have appeared on AEW.
But it's like I said, if we're including those, it's clearly a ton. But even without those, there is a lot for 3 hours of TV. Could they make it work? Yes. Do I, as of right now, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in it, but only time will tell.
And we're going to add one more belt to that list. Because now with CM Punk being injured.
Oh, yes.
We are now going to crown the interim AEW World Heavyweight Champion. At Forbidden Door, featuring John Moxley and what, Tanahashi, I think, won last night?
Yeah, Tanahashi.
Yes, Tanahashi.
Goto.
Well, yeah. Tanahashi and Goto have to wrestle for it first.
They already did last night.
It was last
oh,
night.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't remember when that was.
Yeah, that match was held at Dominion last night. Tanahashi yes. won. Tanahashi and Moxley is now the match for Forbidden Door.
Cool. So they took the long way to the foregone conclusion that I'm pretty sure everybody figured
yep.
it was going to be anyway.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
No!
Shocking.
Hey, it filled up TV time, guys.
I mean...
Filled up TV time.
It did, I mean...
I guess. I don't...
A battle royal with not all your top contenders to face your top contender for the U.S. side of a bracket to then take on winners of two people who've never appeared on your TV show to fight
for
your...
Which
New Japan set up for featuring for your world title. Yeah, that all makes sense. Tim, you would book that way, right?
I would do as far as booking a show goes, what I've always done, and that would be to book a show that actually made sense.
So you want to book a battle royal featuring not your top competitors to face your number one ranked guy later in the show, and then having that guy go on and face whatever another match. That wouldn't be how you would book it.
Again, I would book a match that made sense.
Okay.
They would have been smarter to, if they wanted to go that route, they should have done it tournament style, had a couple guys wrestle twice, give Moxley the bye because he's the number one contender, and then at least that way it wouldn't feel, I don't know, I would have liked that better.
See, what you're describing right there, Casey, is something that I was going to book for CAW before we shuttered. Kind of sort of like a gauntlet match, but not what we're used to seeing, not the type of gauntlet match that we've become used to seeing in WWE, where it's a waste of time because the last two competitors, it's going to be one of the final two competitors who winds up winning always. Whenever WWE does it.
Yeah, but like I still think a tournament bracket would have been better. You could have tucked a couple matches in between like the first round and the second round to give those guys some time to rest, even if it was just not that quick, or even have the first round on Wednesday and the final rounds on Friday if they want to span over two shows.
See,
oh, that reminds me. How'd you hurt your knee?
I don't know. Specifically, if you want to get like broad, I was in a fatal four-way match, and at some point I got up, and it was sore. So like, it's not injured. It's just
strained.
I would say re-aggravated. It just comes down to the fact that the card got moved around. I did not have enough time to stretch properly the way that I like to in order to maintain the health of my previously injured knee and also my healthy knee. And all this means is over the next 2 weeks, I have to do lots of ice and stretching and rehab to get it ready for the next show.
I've got a suggestion for you that I swear by it with my buggered up knee that I've had buggered up since I was 14. Voltaren.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have my sister-in-law gave me her super fancy, ice machine that you have like the ice bucket and then it feeds cold water through the little knee brace thing. And then, yeah, I use Voltaren or A535. Because I like the smell of A535.
Okay, but I find Voltaren works better. I mean, I use that on my knee, and not a single twinge. It felt like it was 13 years old again.
Yeah, so I use all of the topicals and all of the ice, and lots of stretching is the plan.
Meanwhile, everybody's wondering why I'm talking to Casey about his soaring knee. The reason being is I saw the time and, you know, we're just stretching it out a tiny little bit and it's entertaining.
What are we? Okay. Anyway, doesn't matter.
well, wait,
I'll let you know in 2 weeks whether or not we can blame Brent.
Okay. I mean, we can blame Brent him on Thursday anyhow. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I know, but, you can't do it yet because I'm not completely out.
Okay. Once
I'm out, I'll let you know and then we can blame Brent.
All right.
Rock. I just want to touch on something that Casey said about doing the tournament. You could do a tournament. The only problem is we've seen with AEW, when it comes to a tournament, you'd have the same problem that the Battle Royal had. They would not put all their main guys in the tournament because guess what? That would mean that a main guy would have to lose.
Yes. Well, when
you had the Owen Hart, I mean, you had some good names in there, but you know, Jericho wasn't there. Brian wasn't that, you know, you didn't have your big names because if they lose, people could get upset. So what do? You run the same, you know, upper mid tier guys against each other that can, you know, take wins and losses. And then you have your people like Moxley who would come in, clean out, win, done. That's why Adam Cole was like a foregone conclusion to win the Owen Hart tournament on the men's side. Everyone looked at that and went, I mean, sure, Samoa Joe could win. But this just seems like it's Adam Cole straight on through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like the idea better than what they went with. I didn't say they would execute it better.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, a tournament would have been better. And actually, you know, removing the belt off of Punk if he's injured and can't defend it would be a better move. Yes. But, of course, Tony decided, no, I'm going to keep the belt on you even though you're hurt, and we'll do an interim title. Which means when you're ready and healthy and able to move on, we're going to sacrifice whoever had the interim title to you to get back onto the Summer of Punk.
Tony Khan might need somebody to give him a good sweat kick in the ass when he comes up with ideas.
Well, I think he just needs to go through, you know, a filter of people to look at his ideas and maybe not necessarily tell them they're garbage, but he needs to be open to some maybe suggestions on booking things.
But we've seen what happens if people challenge Tony Khan on his ideas. I mean, we had someone come out and say that CM Punk is not a draw, and he went on a 4-minute, you know, profanity-laden tirade about how Punk is a fucking draw, and anyone who doesn't believe it doesn't know numbers.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same reason why, you know, he's booking it all by himself now. So we can sit here and theorize all night about how we can fix that. It's just he needs to be willing to accept the help, and hopefully he does it before it's too late, because I like all the wrestling that's on TV as far as having options for workers and things to watch and stuff. So I'm pulling for everybody. I really am. It's just, I mean, and here's, like, don't get me wrong. Everybody's human. Everybody's going to make mistakes. We're all a sum of our experiences. But you have to be, especially if you're doing something like this, you've got to make it so that you're focused on putting out the best product for the people versus what you think will do good, which means sometimes tucking your tail between your legs and letting some other people throw in some suggestions.
So we're talking about booking decisions. WWE decided to remove Edge from the Judgment Day and add Finn Balor on Monday night. What do we think about that, Brant?
Curious.
All right, no, start with Tim. Go.
Very curious. They've got to have an end game to this. And I don't know how cheesy it would be. Edge gets kicked to the curb, so he creates a faction to take on his old faction.
Depends on the storytelling, just like everything.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. It could wind up, sure, it might be very cheesy, but if it's handled right, it could be exceedingly entertaining.
The only problem is Edge kind of burned a lot of bridges as part of this, like storyline-wise. You know, talking about being, you know, on the, was it the mountain of omnipotence? And just basically it's like, if you're not with us, you're against us, we'll lay waste to you. And so I think it's very telling that, like, when Finn turned on Edge, Edge didn't have anyone to come out and help him. He just kind of got his comeuppance in the form of a Glasgow smile and a concerto and an utter beatdown.
Well, what if they're setting him up to be wrestling's version of the Punisher?
Possible.
I mean, this is my whenever I watch wrestling and see what they're doing, this is me spending about 2 hours trying to speculate on how many different booking scenarios they could come up with. And those are just two of them that I've thought about.
I mean, I read somewhere, whether this is true or not, that Edge asked to be removed because they were taking the group in a direction that he did not want to be part of.
That they were going more supernatural?
Yes.
They were going to introduce magics.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Maybe he did not want to be Edge Mind Freak.
He could just put on a little bit of extra guy liner. It's fine.
Maybe he prefers to be Edge, Penn, and Teller. I don't know.
Although Damian Priest, Damian Priest could be Mind Freak.
Yes. So, I mean, it's...
Quick, what's his name?
What?
Chris Angel.
There you go.
I thought you were, like, I was just about to be like, well, you just said it was Damian Priest. Yep, that's right. That's where my brain went. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see whether he has to be removed or they... If it's because he has to be removed for that reason, it makes more sense than them just taking him out for no reason. But I guess only time will tell. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with Edge going forward and how they will hopefully give us some sort of story about redemption or crawling back on their hands and knees, begging for forgiveness. I'm sorry sort of deal. Because if they just sweep all that under the rug and all of a sudden Edge is a good guy again, oh boy.
What do you think about this whole thing, Brent?
Yeah, it's just, from a storyline standpoint, it feels a little off. Only because when you had Edge with Rhea and Damian under his wings, you had someone that, you know, has 20 years of experience in the business kind of overseeing them. And it would make sense of like, okay, yeah, they'd want to be under the learning tree of this guy, and plus the biggest claim he could have to them is, okay, Damian, you've been the U.S. champion before, but, you know, is that all you want to be? Is that, like, you know, you haven't quite reached your potential yet, I can take you there. Rhea, you've been frustrated, you haven't quite lived up to what you wanted to do, join me and I can take you there. And it's like, you started to see a little bit of that. And it's like, okay, yeah, he can steer them in a direction where they could just be a force and kind of take off. But it's almost like if you were going to introduce Finn to the mix, and I'm sorry for making this analogy. Please forgive me, universe, especially someone out there. But you could have done it in a way like Orton and the family, where it's like you introduce this new person into the mix and they shift the dynamic from the inside. Like, okay, Rhea gets the title shot for the Raw Women's Championship. Okay, cool. Edge got her there. What if she lost? And all of a sudden, Finn's there, and Finn's kind of in her ear, like, you know, okay, yeah, Edge took you to this point. What if we can get you further?
Basically, they jump four steps ahead instead of telling that story.
Right. Rather than play out some of that kind of internal struggle and then seeing people develop and having that turn, they just went straight to the end game of Finn turns on him immediately.
They went to the end of the story before telling the story.
Right. And it's like, okay, you'll eventually get the match of Finn versus Edge, but it feels so incomplete for what it could be and how you could get there. And like Casey said, this could really have just come down to Edge going, look, I don't want to have supernatural tricks. And WWE goes, well, that's where we're going. So
here we go.
Time to take a vacation.
Yeah.
So like there's that, but it just feels like in that respect, it could be, it feels a little lacking. Now, truth be told, we get heel Finn now, and he has Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley next to him. I'm not adverse to that new group, because I think we've seen Finn as a heel in NXT. If you go onto the interwebs, you can see him as a heel in other areas. He's good. He can be good as sadistic.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if he's got Damian there at his side and he has Rhea there. And as we've seen, Rhea does not hesitate to jump into action and people won't take her on because you're not going to hit Rhea. So it's like Finn can utilize that. And plus, it in the very simplest of terms, it gives Finn something to do, which I'm very not adverse of. Because Finn is just an entertaining person, and the more you can get him on TV, the better. Because he can just, he has that personality, he has the wrestling ability to just kind of captivate an audience. And instead of being smiley Finn, like we've seen him on the main roster, we now get a little bit of an edge to him, and it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes moving forward.
Ironic that you're saying that we get to see an edge to him.
Pun intended.
Was it?
Sure.
So, with that, we're going to do a little bit of this.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now! The all-time greatest on the babyfaces continues with New Day taking on Booker T. Casey.
New Day.
Okay.
Because they had pancakes.
Oh, okay.
No, I remember Booker T more for his heel stuff. King Booker, his supermarket fight with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Classic.
Yeah. His commentary while beating everybody down as a member of the Main Event Mafia. Don't get me wrong, Booker T did some cool stuff as a babyface, but when you ask me about favorite Booker T moments, they're heel moments, so New Day.
Right.
What, you mean the I'm coming for you Hulk Hogan?
Really, 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 really?
Well, see, I didn't see that live, so I don't count it as something that I experienced.
I love the instant regret on his face as soon as it said. But well, that being said, moving away.
Also, like New Day had a time machine made out of a cardboard box, and that was amazing.
They also had a giant cereal box at WrestleMania.
100%.
I've got to go with New Day because even though Booker has got, you know, Shucky Ducky Quack Quack in his top five and whatever else catchphrase he wants to do as a commentator now. And don't get me wrong, him in a tag team with Goldust was babyface gold. The New Day is just quintessential babyface. Like, they come out, and you're not only cheering them, you're buying their merch. You're having adult men sitting there with unicorn horns on their goddamn head. They made the trombone cool. And it's just the fact of, like, when you get around the New Day, you want to see them succeed. Especially as baby faces. That's why, like, Xavier Woods making the run for King of the Ring was so good because everyone was behind them. Kofi Mania, when the man finally got his chance after 11 years to really get the world title and just the storyline that came from it and the ultimate payoff at WrestleMania, which was a, you know, top Mania moment. Getting to see Kofi win and celebrate with his kids and his boys. Big E. winning the Money in the Bank and able to cash in and be the world champion like everyone thought he should be and wanted to be. All that encompassed, and just the reaction that they get for anything that they do, and how this was, for lack of a better term, an angle that probably was built to fail, but they decided, no, we're going to make this work, and they've carried it forward for, I don't even know, what, 8 years now?
Yeah.
I've got to give my vote to the New Day on that.
Tim.
Yeah, Booker T's babyface runs, for the most part, were, for lack of a better term, I'd have to say it was weak. But you brought up that Hulk Hogan, I'm coming for you. Brent, were you aware that I interviewed Booker T?
I mean, I know that Booker T at one point was an interview for the network.
This is before the network. Tim interviewed. Tim and the old crew interviewed yeah. Booker.
Me with the old crew. And against my advice and appeal to better decisions, a certain individual decided to play that clip for Booker T.
Oh.
Live on the air.
No, they didn't.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I said, don't do it. And he says, no, play the clip, play the clip. And I'm going, God, no. So, okay.
How quick did he hang up?
Hang on, I'm about to tell you. He played the clip. Second that the clip ended, Booker T says, well, you just burned your ass with me, but thanks for promoting my wrestling school. Click.
Yeah.
So we went to commercial break immediately. I appealed to him, and he came back on and finished the interview.
That's impressive.
That was me at my diplomatic best, let me tell you. And he was appreciative afterwards of what I said to him. But, Rock, I guess you heard the interview. You weren't I don't even know if you were a listener back then.
I was a listener back then, yeah.
Oh, you were? Yeah, okay. And you remember that?
Kind of. It's been...
Well, it's been 17 years. I don't know what that happened in 2005.
It's been a minute. Yeah, I remember.
It's been a hot minute. Yep. But, yeah. And I'm not going to tell you who it was who pushed for that clip to be played.
We all know. Doesn't matter. Just keep moving.
We all know.
So we're just New Day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So I want to get to another one, you know, without long-winded answers from somebody on here, Brent. Hurricane Jushin Liger. Brent.
Liger. There.
Casey.
That's short and sweet.
I like to justify my answer is all. That's all.
I know. Casey.
Yeah, Liger. Just barely, though.
Tim.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Both of you guys picked Liger?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Stand back.
See, I grew up watching Jushin Liger in WCW. And he was entertaining as all hell.
And like I said, just barely. I love me some Hurricane, but...
His interactions with The Rock are some of the greatest backstage vignettes of that era.
Yeah, but Liger kicked over Vader's little helmet when it was going off before their match and lived. Lived.
Yeah, it's make him a better babyface. That makes him a lucky bugger.
He also plays with corgis in full getup.
Uh-huh.
I had to
show Hurricane a little love.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, just barely. I love Hurricane, but Liger wins.
Sergeant Slaughter, Rey Mysterio, Tim.
Oh, God. Hands down. No choice. No contest. Rey Mysterio.
Uh-huh.
The ultimate underdog. Are you kidding? The biggest little man in the ring?
Uh-huh.
Listen up, you maggots.
Brent?
Yeah, I got to go Mysterio. Slaughter, though he... You know, when he's at his patriotic best, can rally a crowd. There was something about that heel run he had around WrestleMania 7.
Where he sided with the Iraqis?
Well, it was the Iraqis. It was just how heelish he was during that span.
That was a supremely poorly planned out turn.
But it was just one of those things, like, when all of that happened, it's like, that's the first thing I think of when it's Sergeant Slaughter. You know, yeah, he was also, you know, added to G.I. Joe and all of that stuff. Great. But whenever you think Slaughter, you think, or at least I do, first thing I think of is heel, you know, WrestleMania 7, Hogan, Warrior, all that kind of stuff. With Rey Mysterio, it's just, yeah, you say that name, the first thing that comes to mind is Babyface.
When did Hogan first started using Real American for his theme song?
Oh, shoot, hang on.
85? Question mark?
Yeah, it was just a couple of years after he did Thunderlips, wasn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, Brent looks it up. Casey?
Rey Mysterio. I mean, for all of those reasons, he is the ultimate underdog. He is the ultimate babyface. When he walks to the ring, he touches masks with children wearing masks. Also, like, I don't know. Yeah, anytime from the time I discovered Rey Mysterio to now, he's always been, you know, a babyface. So I would say he's had a better babyface than Sergeant Slaughter.
I've never known Rey to play heel.
He did
in
some
WCW.
Filthy
heelish
animals.
Things when he was part of the Filthy Animals and Unmasked running around in an orange jumpsuit. But even
that
then,
more,
like it,
that was more anti-hero tweener shit.
Yeah, they weren't like super bad. They were just little shits.
They were the radicals, man.
No, that was a different group of people.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Brock, it was first used in 1985. As the theme for the U.S. Express of Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo.
Okay.
They then left the WWE and it was given to Hulk Hogan. So basically 1986 onward.
All right, close enough. I was one. So, you know. One final matchup. Tatanka, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Casey.
Hacksaw.
Okay.
I don't know. Was a super huge fan of Hacksaw Jim Duggan when I was a kid, and even now I had one of those foam 2x4s. Me and my brother beat the ever living crap out of each other with foam 2x4s. I did like Tatanka as a babyface, but for some reason, just the energy that Hacksaw Jim Duggan gave off, and his just, I don't know, something about him, just when you compare those two. Immediately, Hacksaw Jim Duggan jumped out as the winner for me.
Tim.
Well, all due respect and much love to Tatanka as an actual, genuine, indigenous professional wrestler. There aren't that many out there. Casey and I probably know a couple.
Yep.
Like, personally.
Yep.
They were huge during their time out in the Western Territories out here. That being said, he was such a role model for the blue collar individual, the blue collar fan, that it's next to impossible to not pick Hacksaw.
Hacksaw very much is a babyface. I mean, there was that little bit of a heel run when he joined Team Canada.
Hey, that wasn't heel.
Yes, it was.
It was
Team
very
Canada.
Much heel.
That wasn't heel.
Subjective.
Moving on. and then there was also that time that Tatanka sold out and joined the Million Dollar Corporation, which just felt dirty in a few different ways. But, like, Tatanka, I don't know, while he did have face moments, it was always kind of hard for me to, like, really get behind him. Whereas Hacksaw comes out and it's just kind of, he just has this energy that, like, everyone supported. And plus he's, you know, Joe Patriotic. So not the greatest wrestler, but he still was able to, you know, get the fans behind him and get that kind of babyface pop and support. So ultimately I'd have to go Duggan.
And there we go. That's our show for the night.
That's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in tonight for a Rod Session edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. The week in programming is just getting started. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, is the post show.
It is, in fact, the Raw post show live, 11 p.m. Eastern, following WWE Monday Night Raw.
Woohoo! And, of course, we have the multi-talented, multi-time award-winning Lindsay Ward was in chat tonight. She's the hostess of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rat Radio Show Thursday nights with your sub co-host Sir Rockin'.
Indeed, we are on the road to 6/23/22, aka 10, where we play Ask the Rock, where you can ask us any question that you want, sans personal / politics. Anything else, we'll answer. And if you ask a smart-ass question, you're going to get a smart-ass answer. So it's the Rack, live Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 1 and 2, now available Episode 3. I don't know. I'm waiting for the thing so we can do it. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
All right, Rock, I'm going to kick off the Ask the Rack Anything. I'm going to ask you, boxers or briefs?
You can tweet it at Wild Talk Radio. We'll answer it on Ask the Rack.
Here you go. Midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it, Saturdays, another edition of The Wild, The Wacky, The Unusual, The Thieves of Airplanes, CB Radio.
It's CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish. Before that, it's Fortnite with friends around 10:30, whenever we get our act together. Use credit code RocketSucker, Lindsay, order in a Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Studios, because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
There you go. And of course, any and all updates concerning the network and other such not stuff can be discovered on social media.
It can. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
For a special Father's Day edition?
Yeah, we'll call it that.
Now, is there a difference between a father and a daddy?
Tone.
Depends on the context.
Tone.
Well, Tim, what kind of context?
I am not getting into that because this is supposed to be PG-13.
Tone.
I'm not getting into it.
Come on, Brent. Finish the thought, Brent.
What? What?
Nothing? Okay.
I'm just saying
you didn't have a follow-up to that?
No.
Leave it a tone.
Never ask a question you already know the answer to.
No, Brent, no, it's not there you go. You didn't fully do it. So, you tried.
Whatever.
He's on Twitter at King Kittens and other things, right?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens. I make friends and post thoughts about AEW, Fortnite, a bunch of other different things.
Casey's on social.
Yes, I am at social media things at Kyle Driver. I tweet about hurting my knee and I push wrestling promotions and other things, but mostly pushing wrestling promotions. Link to the stores there if you want to take a look at that stuff.
Buy stuff from Casey on Redbubble.
Yeah, get yourself some coasters. They hold your mugs and stuff. No, the bento boxes are you have to make the long, arduous, horrible trek up to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and buy one from me live.
Okay.
Brent, you have sick days. You can do it.
What's a sick day?
You have vacation days. You can do it.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You probably have like 6 months.
He has them. He just never takes them.
Tim, socials, go.
I am on the socials. You can follow me at Flames Forums for pretty much everything and everything. It's not just hockey. It's not just wrestling. It's absolutely everything. If you're interested in the stuff that I create and work on, follow me at Tim's_toolbox. And you'll get a chance to see all the images of all of the different odd jobs that I complete for customers. And it's some pretty nice looking things. I'm going to have some pictures of a fence that I'm working on going up there soon. You're going to enjoy looking at that built completely from scratch. No prefab panels or anything, man. So follow me at both of those. With that, we're wrapped up for the night. Say goodnight, Rock.
WildTalkRadio.com.